Well, good afternoon, everyone. Another beautiful Sabbath. I think one of the gentlemen reminded me the other week. He says, "Do you realize that you give a weather report on every Sabbath?" I says, "Yeah." I says, "You know, when I was a kid growing up in the church, you know, the TV news people were just starting to come on TV. They were starting to make the news a big deal. And I always thought it would be pretty nice to be one of those weathermen and stand there and tell them, because I always enjoyed the weather and that, so I guess maybe that's a little carryover. It's a beautiful day here in Chicago. Sun out. It's nice. And hope it is where you are. I want to say greetings to all the churches out there. I can still say that greetings to the seven churches. But that'll only last now another month or so, because we have another two on the horizon. As soon as I can get to them, we will officially start those. So we are growing, and God seems to be having things grow very slowly, very good, very solidly. And we know the huge growth is right around the corner. So we have to prepare for that, and that's what we are. I was given today the first article that is done in the Dutch language. One of our members is doing that. And so that's coming along, and the Spanish one is coming along as well. And I'm going to get our friend all the stuff in the French language, so that can get going. So we'll have quite a good backup by the time the people really start to flock in, and they're going to be hungry. They're going to be as hungry as you people are. Every time the tape doesn't come on Thursday or whatever, I start getting telephone calls. "Where's my tape? Where's my tape?" So get that from across the country. I thought that I would, this is going to be the second part of The Unpardonable Sin. And we may go to three parts. I don't know. We'll see how this goes. But I thought that I would start. I was handed last week a couple of these little jokes. I guess they get them off the internet and that. And I should be on the internet later this week, so maybe I'll be able to download. I guess that's the term. This is just a cute joke. It says, a Jewish man moved into a Catholic neighborhood. And every Friday, the Catholics go crazy because while they are eating this fish, and they're all sober and eating fish every Friday, this is an old joke, the Jew is outside barbecuing steaks. So the Catholics work on the Jew to convert him. And finally, by threats and pleading and everything else, the Catholics finally, you know, convince this Jew to become a Catholic. So they take the Jew to a priest who sprinkles holy water over this Jew, and he says, "Born a Jew, raised a Jew, now a Catholic." Boy, the Catholics are ecstatic. This is wonderful. They have to eat this lousy fish, but they won't have to smell the nice barbecued steaks, see? So Friday evening rolls around, see? And all of a sudden, all the Catholics are there, and all of a sudden, wait a minute, they smell the scent of barbecue coming through the neighborhood again. And, oh, man, the Catholics go nuts, and they come rushing over to the Jew's house to remind him of his new diet. And they see him standing there over the grill, and he's cooking this big steak, and they're all looking over the fence at him. And here he is real loud out there in the backyard, and he's sprinkling water over the meat saying, "Born a cow, raised a cow, now a fish." That was good. Now my wife really liked this one. She thought this was funny. You can be the judge of this. Says this lady was going to the hospital all the time, and her husband had been slipping in and out of a coma for several months. Yet she had stayed by his bedside every single day. One day, he came to, and he motioned her to come a little nearer. This is after months, every day, day and night, backing her husband through all these years, and now this coma for a couple of months. And as she sat by him, he whispered, and his eyes were full of tears, and he says, you know what? He says, you have been with me all through the bad times. When I got fired, you were there to support me. He says, when my business failed, you were there. When I got shot, you were by my side. When we lost the house, you stayed right here. When my health started failing, you were by my side. Do you know what? And the woman says, his wife says, well, what, dear? She gently asked, what, dear? Smiling as her heart began to fill with warmth of all this time. And he says, I think you bring me bad luck. After all. Well, I think that. I see a lot of shaking of the heads, but it's still a good joke. I think you bring me bad luck. Maybe that's why I'm in the hospital. Give me a break. It's always been around you. Maybe he was a gambler in a previous life. Okay, let's get back to this. This is the unpardonable sin, part two. So last week, I started to expose the truth about the unpardonable sin. Because for all these years, we had never heard this. We were always taught that we could commit the unpardonable sin. And going through all of that, and knowing all of that, and last week as we went through that, you can ask yourself, will you ever shake your fist at God? Remember, you're converted. You were sealed by the Holy Spirit. You are part of the 144,000. You have received that promise. Now tell me, when are you going to go out in the backyard, raise your fist, and say, no, I will not follow you anymore. I know this is all right. This is true. I've had it. And I fully know what I'm doing, and I'm going to go totally against you. Well, that doesn't even cross your mind, does it? It can't. How could it? How could that? Many of us around the country have gone through all these different groups and organizations, and you know what? We're still keeping the Sabbath, aren't we? And you're still here. And we've all been sheep, and the sheep have been out there. And God is bringing them back. He's going to bring them back to the pasture. They didn't die. Now, they might be awfully hungry, they might be awfully skinny, and their coats might be awfully ratty, but they're not dead yet, and they won't be. God will bring his people back to the pasture. He has to. It's his promise. Now, you wouldn't go out and shake your fist at God, but somebody has already done that. Somebody did. Somebody did. Somebody is without excuse. And that's where we got to last time. So let's recap a little bit and go on and learn more about this subject. Let's turn back to Romans 1. This is where we ended last week. And I know that whenever I talk about Satan, whenever I talk about his evil, I do tend to get a little loud and riled up because he is the enemy. He is the enemy, and I will always treat him as that. And he's a very low enemy at that. We asked the question last week, if he forgives all of us, as we went through in the first part of this, who is without excuse? Who could be without excuse? If it's not you and me, who could be? We started to go into this, and we'll just go ahead and start again on this, because we only got a couple of verses in on that before we had to stop. Romans 1, verse 17. I think that's where we started. Yes. It says, "For therein is righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And we know who the just is. That is the 144,000. And how do we live? It's by faith. Is it our faith? No. It's the faith is the fruit of God's Spirit. So if we have any faith, it has come from God. Period. It's over there in Galatians 5. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruit of Joe or Harry or Mary. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And if you have faith and faith is coming out in you, that means God's Spirit is doing that within you. And we know that we are the just, aren't we? By that sealing of the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Pardon me. Why would you do this? We're out there begging for more information. We want more truth, because God's Spirit does this. But there is one that does it. And on there, you can instead of men, you can put an angel. An unrighteous angel, angels who hold the truth in unrighteousness. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. But God has showed it unto them." They knew it. They were there. They were there in the beginning. Verse 20, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So that they," who? "They are without excuse." Well, who is the they? When you go on, it says here, "Because that when they knew God," who knew God? And who knew God from the beginning? Did you? We didn't. Did we ever see the eternal power and Godhead? Did we ever see that? Never. We've heard about it. We feel it, but we've never seen it. They've seen it. And they are without excuse. It says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God." They were right there. Satan and those devils were right there. They saw the Word. They saw the Father. They saw the throne. They saw all of creation. And yet they turned, because they were supposed to, because it was built in. They were brute beasts made to be destroyed. And the envy and the murdering and all of that was put within them. Took a little time, doesn't it? Envy takes time. That's the way envy is. That's why God says that Satan was a murderer from the beginning. It was in him, but it did come out later. And we've read that story before. "They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Well, they saw the light. They were there. You know, God called, and he says to us, You know, you shouldn't really call somebody else a fool in that context. And we call people foolish and this and that, but God will come out right and call these people, these not people, but these angels and Satan, fools. And there's no hope for them. And when you say fools like that, it is more condemning to death. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Oh, they thought they knew more than God. They were there. They saw it all. That envy came. That vanity started to grow. That hatred started to come. So much so they wanted to murder the Word and murder God and take over. And so, of course, they were cast out. And, of course, they ended up down here as the God of the world and all of his little helpers. In verse 23, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to the corruptible. Corruptible man into the birds and the four-footed beast and creeping things. Guess what all the Egyptians worshipped? Look at all of their gods. Remember, that was the first head of the beast, Egypt. We still find all those little beetles and everything else all mummified today. Cats and dogs and all kinds of weird things. Because they were little gods. You think Satan missed a beat? He didn't miss a beat. Now, I go through this a lot clearer, and I spend more time on this. I can't spend the time now, because it's a little different subject, what we're going to be reading here in the next few verses. And when we're going through the book of Romans, and you have to understand that these demons of Satan have possessed this whole world. This is their world. These are their people. The very children of disobedience. And they are in them, making them so. So when you see sin in a person, see the satanic spirit. When you see the old movies like the Nazis doing horrible things and killing, realize that that was a demon doing that. What man would ever hurt another man? Why would you want to do that? You never would. But they're being forced to do this. So as we go on, keep that in mind. In verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And we don't know what goes on in that spirit world with them, but I can tell you that they're horrendously perverted and weird. And you see some of that being related through men and women. It says, who changed the truth of God into a lie. The truth of God was that God sent his Son to this earth to save all mankind. Oh, no. No. Those are only, if you really snuggle up to Christ, and say, I love you, and throw a little holy water around and genuflect a little bit, maybe you can be saved. See? But don't get on the wrong side of the Pope, or he'll flip you in hell. So I don't know what your real hope is out there, but that's what the pagan Christianity is today. It says, who changed the truth into a lie? Everything that God came down here to do, and sent Christ to do, he turned everything into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. The creature will come and go, and not the Creator. He is blessed forever. It's such a big statement that they say, amen. Amen to that. Yes, I agree. For this cause, God gave them unto vile affections. For even their women, whose women? Their women. Satan's women. The ones he has control over. Did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men, leaving the normal use of the woman, burned in their lust toward one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. So you see this, when you see them, I like to say little gay parades. They're little queer parades. Pride? Pride? Oh, that's another one of the fruits of Satan, isn't it? Pride. Pride in their little gay and lesbian parades running down the street dressed like a bunch of, excuse me, jerks. They are just foul-looking little people. But when you look at that, don't be mad at those people. Start to realize it is Satan doing that to one of your brothers and one of your sisters. He is making a mockery out of the very creation of God. And he has them prancing around out there like little fairies. Do you think God ever created a man or a woman to ever act that way? Well, of course not. So when you see that, know what Satan is doing. Don't be mad at them. Be mad at Satan. Learn to hate evil. That's what he says. The beginning of knowledge, understanding, all of that is to hate evil. So next time it's on TV and it's on the newscast, look at that. And see what Satan is doing to your brothers and sisters. They're all your family. They all came from Adam. They may be a number of times removed, still your relatives. Vile affections. So God has seen what Satan, of course, has done. He knew he would do this. He's done this for a purpose. So in verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain, because they had this knowledge, they didn't retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And a reprobate mind means, or a mind void of judgment. There's no judgment, and no judgment will come upon them. They're free to do anything they want. Guess what? All the demons and Satan, guess what they have in their own mind? Free moral agency, don't they? They can do anything they want. There's no judgment. There's no law. We'll just do it. But we've already found out that's why God established the law. And when they break it, they have no covering for it. And then he will kill them all. Good plan. You know, I don't see any flaws in this plan. It's like, who is that? W.J. Fields, or I forget the guy's name, but Fields, you know. W.C. Fields, yeah. And he was on his deathbed. And guys came in to visit him. And he's sitting, he's never a religious man, always just atheist. He's in there, he's reading the Bible. And this is a true story. And they say, what are you doing? He says, I'm looking for loopholes. Looking for loopholes here. Because he knew his end was coming. He wanted to make sure about this. Because he had lived a pretty wild life. So they look for loopholes too. But there's none to be found. And you know what? They're going to die. He gave them to this reprobate mind. So when you see people running around like these fruity people running around out there in the streets, don't hate them. You know, all homosexuals, all lesbians, all of these drug dealers, drug users, they are all welcome in God's church. But they must stop practicing. They can't be in God's church and continue practicing that. Because that is vile and it is not what God wants. So we can't have you practicing that in the church. But if you've been that in the past, you are more than welcome to be here and to find out what God really has in store for you. And God will weed that evil spirit out of you and replace that with God's Holy Spirit. All mankind is welcome here. But the law of God is still in effect. So we have to do our best to do that. But then he says, this is what is all within this reprobate mind. This is the character of Satan and all of his devils. Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness. Fornication. Where does fornication come from? That spirit. Wickedness. Covetousness. Full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, mischief, whispers, all of that. You know, and we all have this in us, unfortunately. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. They're not happy just to have the regular evil things. Well, let's see how much more we can stretch the barrel on this deal. Let's keep pushing the envelope on this. Let's get as so evil and vile as we can. Because it's all against the Father in heaven. And that's where their attitude comes. It's disobedient to parents. You see these on these talk shows once in a while, you flip around. I can't stand these things. But you flip around all of a sudden, well, what are they doing now? Oh, the same old baloney. So you flip it. But you get these teenagers, and they're absolutely uncontrollable. And the parents say, I can't control them anymore. They never could in the beginning. They never trained them properly to begin with. But they are uncontrollable. And all you're seeing is the fruit of God's Spirit there. And the school system is getting worse and worse and worse. It never was good. The school system was always satanic. Don't ever say the school system was good. It has never been good. All of this has been of Satan. And it's getting worse. And so they're even taught more in that. You know, it's just Satan's little, it's like Satan's little ambassador college. But it's the evil ambassador college. It's the negative thing. And it just trains these kids how to be evil and disobedient to parents. So they used to teach back in the 60s to college students, the ones who are running the world today. There are no absolutes. There can't be God. There are no absolutes. So we have all of our people in government everywhere that's running business. And there's no absolutes. There isn't anything righteous in this country. And there isn't anything righteous in anywhere in the world. They're not even going that way. They're all going opposite. If you were coming at the end of your reign, what would you be doing? You'd be getting worse and further away from God, fighting him even more. And that's exactly what Satan's doing. It says, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, truce breakers, unmerciful. One of the biggest, largest fruits of Satan's spirit. Unmerciful. Just rips the flesh off the bones of people. Now these, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. They know this. not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They love it. They love it. That's why it's not getting better out there. It's getting a lot worse. It is incredible when you see this through God's eyes, when you see this knowing the true plan of salvation, knowing that all mankind, everyone who has ever lived and died, will live again, will live forever in the kingdom of God, each in their own order, first the first fruits, then the great harvest, all of mankind. Knowing that Satan is the one who has committed the unpardonable sin. All of his devils and demons have committed the unpardonable sin because they have blasphemed against God, knowing with full knowledge of being there in the beginning. They knew God. They're the ones who shook their fists at God. But as Satan is quite often to do, not quite often, every time he does it, if you were Satan, how would you do this? Well, I have a good idea. Why don't we turn this around and teach all mankind that they're the ones who can commit the unpardonable sin? And we'll have them running with this fear of death and bondage their whole lifetime. Even within God's true and holy church, will mess them up so bad that they don't even know. And we didn't. We do now, because friends, we're coming toward the end. When that end is, I don't know. I'd like to be around here to see it. I hope it happens in my lifetime. If it does, wonderful. From a selfish point of view, but I'll tell you, the ending isn't going to be so nice. You know, you heard about that persecution in the beginning of the church? Well, you're going to see it with your own eyes at the end. Because Satan is going to go on a rampage like the world has never seen. Because the power of God is going to be given in power to his church and to his servants. And then, as they say, let the games begin, because it is going to be a battle all the way to the end until Satan is knocked off his throne and Jesus Christ comes with chains and locks him away. I guess if we knew what was coming, we would probably say, Father, I'll put my vote in that we all die before this happens. We could just be sleeping in the ground when this mayhem is going to begin, you know. But as ignorant individuals, we don't understand what's really coming, so we'd like to see it. But God will work it out his way. But they knew God. They committed the unpardonable sin, not mankind. What a joy to know. Well, what about mankind? What about mankind? Did they ever really know God? Let's turn here to John. John 17. We've read from this chapter numerous times in the last 2 weeks. John 17. Verse 25, this is in his final prayer before Christ is murdered, killed. And you know the whole background on this. In verse 25, he says, O righteous Father, the world, that's all of us, that's the whole world, that's all the human beings, the world hath not known you. But Christ, but I have known you, and these have known that you have sent me, those disciples, and all of us now, who are the 144,000. We know him. we're really starting to get to know him. The more we know his plan, the more we see his mind. But the world hasn't known God. So if the world hasn't known God, if they did, then Christ is a liar. Oh, and let's hope he's not a liar, because if we can catch him lying once, it's over for us. You know, we're going to be roasted like little toads, jumping up and down on a little frying pan. No, the world hasn't known God. They didn't know him. God winks at the time of ignorance, doesn't he? He did with all of us, and he still does when we make mistakes. Turn to 1 John. 1 John 3. Trying to lay a background and enough scriptures where you'll have to go and, of course, study this on your own, especially those who are just coming in and beginning to understand this. In 1 John 3, starting in verse 1, says, "Behold, what manner of love Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." They don't know us. We can tell them, oh, keep the Sabbath, they keep the holy days. Yeah, the law's been done away with, and trip over the curb and keep on going in their own little pagan Christianity. They don't know us. They don't hear us. Brethren, we are lights running around in this darkness, and they're so blind that they can't even see that. They will. Not yet. It's not their time. When God gives somebody sunglasses, they are really good sunglasses. Totally like a blind man. Be careful you don't trip over their white sticks. That's all I can say. That's how blind the world is. In verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God. For it is not, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is." We'll see him in his full glory. What an amazing thing that is going to be. And we'll see him in his glory forever. And he says to the Father, "Glorify in me and glorify me because of all of this." And he said, "And glorify them." You will have that glory in you as well. It says, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law." We read this in the beginning. "For sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." Aren't you seeds, and seeds is Abraham? He was the seed, Christ. And if you be seeds, then you are in Christ. And there is no sin in him. And brethren, as God looks at us, he sees no sin. Verse 6, "Whosoever abideth in him sins not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him." Little teeny verse there. Listen to this verse. "Whosoever abides in him sins not." Do you have God's Spirit? you are abiding in him, you sin not in his presence. You are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, do you physically sin? We'll be reading about that later. Oh yeah, unfortunately. But it's covered. God doesn't see it. God has a way of always reminding us, though, doesn't he? Too much sometimes. It says, whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knows him. All the rest of the world, they don't know him. They've never seen him. They've never understood him. You know, God's not imputing sin upon them. And God's not laying all this stuff on them. Why do we try to take God's law and bang it over everybody's head? God doesn't. That's why he says, love one another. Love one another. Verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Aha. When you see the entire world out there committing sin, remember this, he that commits sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. Oh no, oh, well, he was a perfect. He was perfect. He was beautiful. Oh, this goes against. No. No, we read over that, brethren. When I say that he was made perfect, perfectly evil, I don't lie. He was made perfectly evil. He never had a choice. Because all of this was in him. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Well, it gets real simple, doesn't it? Gets real simple. Because of all this sin, and guess who's the author of it, and guess who's doing it? It's Satan. This is the reason, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. That's why he came here, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He didn't come to destroy you. Dear brethren, he came to destroy the works of the devil. We have to keep this in mind whenever we see evil. It is of Satan. That's why Christ came for that purpose. That's why mankind is covered. And we especially are covered right now by the very blood of Jesus Christ being the first fruits unto him. So in a moment we will continue and learn more about this.